Senate Committee on Energy and Environment, July 6, 1983, Hearing Room C, Senator John Kitzhaber, Chairperson. Hearing impossible work session on House Bill 2238 relating to hazardous waste, and work session on House Bill 2295 dealing with the technical amendments to the bill and Goal 5 amendments.
Any committee will come to order, please. We have a couple of, if you haven't time there, additional amendments to the 2662 that have been cleared with Mr. Davis. So, one was styled for, a couple were styled for, and this is the Winchester Dam thing. We checked with Bob, and
is they okay?
They okayed it. So,
oh God. You and your dam. Scott Gavash and I have our dam taken care of, so.
Okay, Todd, you want to explain that real briefly?
Okay. The first thing we did was on line 11 and on line 18, we changed this section. It used to say, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong.
Line 14. That was any and that was no.
Right. What we did was we just stated in the negative. We didn't want to imply that this gives them the right to build a dam if they are just in conformance with this bill. We realize that they have to get all the necessary permits and that we are not the sole authorization for the project. And the way it was written, it suggested that. Mm-hmm. We believe we're stating the same thing there in the negative. On page 2, line 4, we removed...
said if the State Fish and Wildlife Commission finds that the terms and conditions have been violated, and we've changed that to just a flat statement that if the terms and conditions have been violated, the commission shall notify the water resources.
And I talked with that about that with Mr. Davis, and there is some change there. It's not a real strong change, but it's believed that that would at least give somebody who wanted to push the commission into acting on this something to go on, and Mr. Davis agreed that that was all right, but he also pointed out that we had earlier, when we were talking on line 14, we had been talking about deleting ex parte. In other words, the injunction, the way it's written now, the injunction could be issued without having the Winchester folks, Electra or whoever, come into court, that it could be issued without them. And I'm not convinced that it's a significant change either way, but because they have to have a court hearing within 10 days either way, and out of fairness, it seems like if that would be appropriate.
Okay.
Okay, I'd move that we delete ex parte. Is there objection? I would then move the amended bill back to 4 to pass. Quick call roll. Before I need to move then amendments HB 2
right.
Amended H amendments
the dam amendments.
Dated 7683 HB 2 662-4 as amended. Is there objection?
Another dam.
That's right. Move ex parte.
Take away your earlier motion, though. First, you move this to the floor and move the earlier amendment.
Okay, just so that the record is clear, we have adopted the deletion of ex parte on page 2. The motion before us is to amend the bill with Legislative Council Draft HB 2662-4.
Boy, have you come along.
Is there objection? Now the motion is to send
the bill to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation, Mr. Chairman.
Did we send this bill before? Did we rescind it?
Had it been sent out?
Yes.
Was the bill start again? Let's recall the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, is there objection? Okay. We are recalling House Bill 2662. We're call a roll on that.
Senator Day?
Aye.
Senator Cohen?
Aye.
Senator Hamby?
Aye.
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Senator Hearn?
Aye.
Senator Stockerman?
Aye.
Chairperson
Kitzhaber?
Aye. Now you have
I would move that we, on page 2 of amendments HB 2662-4, we remove the language on lines 14 concerning may issue an ex parte and running on the 15 order restraining the defendant and all other parties.
Just ex parte.
Hmm? Oh, right. Okay. We want to remove an ex parte.
Just ex parte.
May issue an order.
That's very simple.
Okay.
Does everyone that we understand that?
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Is there objection?
Now we move the amendments as amended to 2662-4 dated 7683, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Is there objection, Mr. Senator? Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, we now move the bill, House Bill 2662, to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Day moves the amended bill to the floor. Due pass. Is there discussion of the motion? Clerk, call roll.
Senator Day.
Aye.
Senator Cohen.
Aye.
Senator Hamby.
Aye.
Senator Monroe.
Aye.
Senator Hurd.
Aye.
Senator Sarkovich.
Aye.
Chairperson Kitzhoff.
Aye. Okay. 2295. We have discussed the 4-5 situation. Senator Day has, and I have, and a number of members of the committee have. We decided that it probably would be best to not add anything on that issue to 2295, but we would like to have Mr. Ross come up so that we can, for the record, state that we don't want people, we don't want the acknowledgement process to suffer from not clearly addressing this. Could you come up to witness?
Yeah, Mrs. Hammett. Yeah, Ms. Hammett.
Pat, do you want to come up too? Mr. Ross, I guess what I'd like to get on the record is that if the Attorney General's opinion is valid, I want to make sure that county plans are not, that you can adopt an administrative solution to deal with acknowledgement for unacknowledged county plans.
Mr. Chairman, Jim Ross, Director of DLCD, I think that at this point that might be the wisest course of action. I think, can function administratively without any significant delays. And let me give you one example. Lincoln County was a county that chose to rely upon the Forest Practices Act and program to carry out implementation of identified Goal 5 resources that occurred on commercial forest land. We acknowledged on that basis, subject to reopening language, should our Goal 5 FPA paper that we're working on conclude that there were some errors or some deficiencies. I think we have the ability to move forward in that manner, and that should not, for those counties that choose to go that route, delay acknowledgement.
Sir Dave.
Now, Mr. Ross, the Forest Practices Act may be amended. There may be some new standards set. If a plan has been acknowledged, can you handle that in post-acknowledgement?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Day, yes.
And if a plan hasn't been acknowledged, will they be given the choice of either handling in post-acknowledgement or an acknowledgement? How will you address that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Day, that would be up to the county, but they clearly could use the Lincoln County approach.
They would have a choice.
That's correct.
All right. I'm satisfied, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, I think the major change, or not change, but concern here is, and the governor's concern that he expressed to both Pat Amadeo and myself, was that he did not want plans delayed for acknowledgement if there was any issue resulting from Goal 5 or from the Forest Practices Act. And frankly, both Mr. Ross and Ms. Amadeo indicated that they feel they can handle that, and that instead of muddying up the waters by trying to fix something that maybe doesn't need fixing, that we should go ahead and leave the issue alone. And I certainly subscribe to that and urge the rest of the committee members to cooperate on it.
Yeah. Pat Amadeo, Governor's Office. After 3 weeks of probably the most intensive investigation on an issue that could have occurred, I think we have a good idea of what everybody's interests and concerns are, that the interest groups that are represented. If the need be, we certainly are prepared. In fact, we have many executive orders that are close to being cut, as well as cooperative agreements that are underway with state agencies. So I think we are well on the road of a more sophisticated a resolution of the problem now than we were 3 weeks ago. And based on the proposals at stake, I think that you've chosen the best one.
Okay, thank you. So, just to summarize then, for the record, if the Attorney General's opinion is in fact correct, the agency will be, the department will be able to, and the commission will be able to deal with acknowledgement as it pertains to Goal 5 through administrative action. Now, I'd like to have, today we want to do our technical amendments on House Bill 2295. We don't want to make any substantive changes, and I will start with, does AOI have any problems?
I would just express that as one member of the committee.
Let me bring Elizabeth.
And she's down the hall.
Yeah, why don't we get Elizabeth Norman, and she has a couple of things she'd like to get clearance for. Does anybody, Fred, why don't you come up while we're getting her? I want to make sure that we don't hear anything on the Senate floor about what we should have done with this bill without having an opportunity not to do it.
Your point, I think, is well taken, sir.
I am Fred Venata, appearing before you on behalf of the Oregon State Home Builders Association to ask some clarifications. One of them could be classified as fairly minor, and the other one causes a little more confusion. I have warned several people I was going to ask these questions, and they've had an opportunity to reflect on it. I would ask you first to turn to page 14 of version 20.
Nobody's got
it. We didn't bring our bill.
It will be at ease to just know while we can get the bill here, so see, we can maybe share here a little bit.
Yeah, if we could, if there's enough for two of them.
Steve's got one. If we have one more, we'll be in business. Did you give one to Joyce and
I just didn't.
LB?
Do you have one?
No.
We need one.
And give one to Rod and Fred.
Sure.
And I'll let you share yours with me.
14, page 14? Yeah, page 14, line 27 and 28. In line 28, it refers to the director and any other person may file an appeal of the local government's decision. And for the record, I'd like to understand whether that means that the director must join with or whether a person independent of the director can file an appeal.
Okay, that is unchanged from the House version, is that correct? I don't believe we made a change in that section. So I would have to, Jim, do you know what the, I'm not sure what the House legislative history on that was.
Mr. Chairman, Jim Ross, DLCD, that might be a question that should be asked of legislative counsel. It would appear that term ought to be or. But
we will ask her when she gets here.
Well, I can tell you, Mr. Chairman, in plain English, the way it reads is that you'd have to have the director's concurrence for any other person to file. I think the way that reads.
Yeah, I would think it would say the director or any other person if they meant that any other person and the director could also do it. But why don't we go on, and Fred, we'll come back to that when counsel gets here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would then call your attention to page 30, section 15. And I would read section 15. Unless a local government so chooses, a local government need not comply with a new or amended goal or rule adopted under a goal until after the comprehensive plan and land use regulations of the local government are acknowledged. Some other language. I would pose perhaps pose a scenario because I'm not sure that language is very clear as to what it's really saying. Presume that they adopt the LCDC between the in the window period were to adopt a rule or a goal requiring a solar hot water tank on each new house. Does that language require that must be in the plan when it's acknowledged and is immediately enforceable upon acknowledgement? Or must the goal or rule be applied directly to an application by the local government after the plan is acknowledged, or after the plan is acknowledged, does the local government start a regulatory process and apply the goal or rule sometime after acknowledgement?
Fred, are all your questions and clarifications, do they deal with things that we did not change from the House, or things that we...
Well,
because
I'm going to try.
Frankly, Mr. Chairman, I don't know whether that language was changed in the House or not.
We didn't change it.
Elizabeth, could you...
I don't know that the...
once again.
I gave it a technical reading here, which I didn't give in the... which I really didn't give over there, and so that question arises.
Yeah. You can beat up on him. Yeah, let's go back to page 14.
Of the dash 20?
Yes. And I'll have Fred restate his question, and then maybe you can comment on that.
The question is whether any person independent of the director can file an appeal, or whether it's the director and... the director has to join in the appeal.
The intent is that any other person, it's not intended to be...
Should be or, should it not, Elizabeth? Instead of and.
Or would probably be more clear.
I'd move that technical amendment right now, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So objection? Word.
The next one arises in section 15. Mm-hmm. So I did it
with you, Brown. How little governors
okay.
The question on section 15 really arises.
Which page is that again?
That's on page 30.
Okay.
When the local governmental, or when an applicant must apply with a new goal or rule, when must a land use decision apply? Be subjected to an amended goal or rule, and it's possible that you might want to join Mr. Ross in that discussion. They've had some lengthy conversation about what that language might really mean.
Jim, do you want to participate in this? Do you hear the question?
Jim Ross, DLCD. No, I didn't hear the question, but I think I know what it is.
Okay.
Regarding...
Section 15.
On page 30?
30, yes, sir.
We have a legislative intent or a policy question in part here, perhaps, but my interpretation and my understanding of this language is that any new goal that was adopted or new rules that were adopted or amendments to the goal that would go into effect after acknowledgement, that jurisdiction would apply that goal at one of two places, or both. At time they do a plan amendment that might be on target as to that particular goal amendment, they would have to apply the goal. Secondly, at time of periodic review, where they update their plan. And you will recall that back in 197.640, and I've forgotten the subheading, but it does indicate that one of the, I believe, four criteria that a local government would follow in determining if they needed to update their plan is whether or not there have been any new goals or rules adopted or amended goals adopted. Okay. So, in short, the local jurisdiction would not have to apply the goal amendment until either a plan amendment to their acknowledged plan or periodic review.
Fred, does that clarify the...
I'm quite comfortable with that as legislative intent. You might ask Mr. Stacy, who seems to be a leading land use lawyer in the state, if he would concur the language, in fact, says that. Well, I would give my seat to him.
Mr. Stacy, would you like Fred to have his seat?
Mr. Chairman, I've got a question for all of them when they finish answering their own questions. Okay.
Mr. Stacy, noted statement. Would you like to address this?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure I have a whole lot of choice.
Without prompting.
Mr. Van Etta never asked me to represent him unless he has a reason to do so. And,
you're being used.
This time, I think I may want to put a caveat on the explanation you've received. The legislation passed by the 1981 session requires LCDC to specify, whenever it amends a goal or adopts a new goal, whether any provisions of that new goal or goal amendment apply to specific land use decisions, and if so, how they will be applied to specific land use decisions before the plan is changed to bring it into compliance with the new goal. So it is possible to imagine a situation in which at some future date LCDC would adopt a goal, some portion of which applies to land use decisions immediately. What this says is that no such goal will apply to any unacknowledged county until after acknowledgement. What that means for an acknowledged jurisdiction is that if such a goal or goal amendment is adopted that applies to specific decisions, then that portion of the goal would be applicable to land use decisions in the acknowledged jurisdiction. The purpose of those 1981 amendments was to make sure that LCDC, Mr. Chairman, explains when it makes such a goal amendment exactly how land use decisions can be brought into compliance with those new goals or goal amendments so that we don't repeat the problems of the past 8 years with conflicting interpretations of general provisions.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir, Dave.
Mr. Ross, I'd like to ask you a question, and if either Mr. Van Netta, please don't go away, Mr. Stacy.
Could I leave the...
You may leave the podium, and we'll have podium. Fred come back up here. Yeah.
What I'm going to ask Mr. Ross is that if we have a plan that's been acknowledged, the goal is changed, they don't have a plan amendment for a period of time. Let's say we have several jurisdictions that just simply haven't brought any plan amendments and maybe won't be on periodic review for a while. Do you have administrative authority at some given point in time to call up that plan?
Okay. Mr. Chairman, Senator Day, only in terms, I believe the correct answer would be only in terms of our setting the schedule for periodic review.
Okay. Okay. The only thing I'd say to you is that I can perceive or foresee a series of jurisdictions who may go on where, and we're giving you some leeway on how you call periodic review, as you're well aware, that when Mr. Van Netta asked you that I don't want to suggest you don't have certain administrative authority, that at some given point in time, if you want to clean up that goal, and you have jurisdiction out there that haven't brought in plan amendments, that you don't have some authority to affect that, okay?
Understood.
And I just want the record clear that I think the committee intends that at some given reasonable given time, maybe a two-year period or so, that if they haven't gone in plan amendment, you haven't scheduled them for periodic review, you may do so in order to affect that change.
Okay, Fred, you have some more? That you covered it, all right? Now, Elizabeth, why don't you go over, did you have some areas that you wanted to... Yes, that you thought we needed to change in terms of performance style or any major gaps we've got in here?
There aren't really anything real, isn't really anything major. There's one section, page 10. On page 10.
Page 10.
Having to do with partial acknowledgement. Lines 1 through 18. I have a question whether on line 7 it is supposed to say the commission shall or the commission may. On line 1, the same thing, as I know that at least one of those was supposed to be shall.
Yes.
I'm not sure whether both of them were.
Okay. Ms. O'Dale, could we have you... We're talking about the compromise substantial compliance language that you were involved in, and there's a question pertaining to that.
Okay.
I'd like Chairman, to have Mr. Chairman, I think if you read that, I would suggest it should be may in both cases. They have the discretion to do this, and it's what they intend.
I think the one on my recollection is the one on line 1 should be shall, but the one on line 7 should be may.
That's accurate.
That's accurate.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there objection to changing the shall to may on line 7 on page 10? Hearing none, so ordered. Okay. Thank you.
The next change that I wanted to suggest is in the periodic review section.
What page?
Beginning on page 19. In putting together this new process, there was some, the language didn't flow as well as I would like it to in order for it to be clear, and so I have just a few suggestions throughout. First of all, on line 28, it needs...
Can I ask a question, please?
Sure, there is. Does this in any way reflect any major change in the policies that we've decided upon?
No, I think it reflects, that it would reflect the same exact policy. I wouldn't be intending to change the substance at all.
Just, I would, I'll make a general motion for this committee the staff, along with Elizabeth, has the opportunity to make style form amendments so that this reads well and directly, as long as it doesn't change the policy, and the chairman has permission to review that. Has any question or concern, he would bring it back to our attention. I'll make that as a general motion. If you have something substantive I'd like to talk about, you're going to drive us crazy telling us how your style.
Well, those were the
and that's
only
my motion, and I've asked
Senator Day, you've heard the motion. I have no objection. Is there objection to that? Okay. Yeah, Elizabeth, I just wanted to find out whether you found anything that where the printed amendments violate the intention or the policy that we're trying to do.
No,
inconsistencies.
I wrote them up. I hope to comply with
I
that.
I thought you might say that.
Mr. Chairman, are you and Todd comfortable with that?
Yes, I'm very comfortable with that.
Are you comfortable with being able to make the changes under that motion,
sir? Yes, that's fine. That was actually the only other one I had. The one policy issue that I do, I would like some direction on is on page 82, the last page of the bill.
We're experts on that. We want to hear about it.
Section 60. A while back, the committee voted to extend LUBA for 90 days and then to make the whole series of provisions that have to do with LUBA's review and the new post-acknowledgement review going to LUBA instead of to the commission, to delay that until October 1st. Well, now that 360 has passed, we have LUBA extended 90 days, so we don't need to worry about that here. What I wrote this so that everything else still was delayed 90 days until October 1st. So that you would be switching the substantive provisions at the same time.
Yes.
I still think that makes sense.
That's the way it's done, and so it's fine.
Objection to that.
Okay. That's all.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman. I have a question on
Starkovich.
The tower amendments. I just want to be clear.
Where is that?
Page 48.
The tower is on page 48.
We may as well get it straight. You do have a change that was from 100 to 200 feet.
I've been told that, yes.
Now, does this take care of all zones, or is this just EFU zones? Is the language?
No, it takes care of all zones. Do you have, what section are you at?
Because I can't. Section 27B.
That's just part of it, Senator Starkovich.
There's three different sections that deal with the towers.
Will it all say 200 feet?
It'll all say 200 feet.
Page 44.
There's one section that says counties may allow transmission towers over 200 feet as conditional uses. There's a provision that says cities in all zones. There's a provision that says cities may allow transmission towers over 200 feet in all zones. And then there's the provision that clarifies that in 215.213. One reason this whole problem arose is because the language in there has been interpreted to include transmission towers, and the language that I have put in there is to clarify that it does not.
Okay. You satisfied, Senator Torres, with your tower?
Very satisfied.
Okay, we've talked to the home builders and AOI. Bob, did you have any comments of a technical nature, Senator Fuller?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I guess I'd like, before we move on, I'd just like to make one thing clear for the record, and that, you know, that Mr. Ross can respond to or whatever, that I want to make sure what we're doing here in light of the AG's opinion is not going to jeopardize the Goal 5 resources. That's not any of our intentions in terms of protecting those resources. And I would assume that administratively they are committed to protect those resources as an agency. in terms of following the Gould five goals, and that would be...
Are you asking them to come up?
Well, no, I'm stating that, and if there's any disagreement with that, then I think we ought to... No. I don't think there is.
We just, I guess where we're at the same thing we're on in Rajneeshville.
Right.
Okay? What we aren't going to do, we aren't going to give any advantage to anyone, we aren't going to subtract from anyone. If they're, as you know, 3008 was hotly debated 4 years ago. What the law is the law, okay? And what advantages they have, fine. But you're keeping, as far as we're, the only concern I have is, and the governor had, and I think a number of you had, is the fact that acknowledgement can go forth, and
yes.
We don't want delay, and that's the major concern the governor had.
Fine.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like some asking questions of some of these group therapists we have that work on land use, if I may. I'd like to talk to Bob Stacey and Fred Van Atta and Gordon Foltz and Mary Hutton.
Okay, Bob, you are next on the list here.
Oh, do you have some changes, Bob?
I just wanted to...
Oh.
Bob Stacey, 1,000 Friends of Oregon. I did indicate to Ms. Norman that... That I saw a technical matter in Section 5A, and she's assured me that it's within the scope of the chairman's discretion.
Okay.
Unless you want to hear it, I'll leave it at that.
Are you satisfied the bill's in good shape, Bob?
Oh. Senator, that's a question you posed in a different context to a number.
And I guess one thing I'd send a letter to the Department of Agriculture or that group and say that that one of the things I think was the most troublesome thing is that they really weren't up to snuff to explain what I happen to know something about it, and I think it's been helpful, but it was a lousy hearing, and most of you went away with a very negative feeling, and I don't think we should have. I think there are some good things that have happened, but we just didn't, the presentation was lousy. And I don't know what Senator Hamby has in mind, but could I ask you, could I do this? Let me try something, okay? If you wouldn't object to that, could we move the bill and let me talk to her to see if she had something and we could call it back for those changes, because I'd like to get on with the bill.
I would object to that. I really
want
to see
Senator
Hamby has to offer before we do take action.
Do you want to call her down here?
Do we have time?
Well, I apologize for not having that ready tonight. If you want,
can we have it post an hour notice and just run down here?
I just ask if we can post. I don't want to.
You could do that tomorrow.
I just like to get it done.
If you don't mind, I think we ought to take.
That's fine.
Deal with it tomorrow. We're not going
to. She's mentioned it to me, and I don't think
that
there's anything wrong with the amendments.
We'll go up and tell her to have her amendments in order, and then we'll.
Well, what you have to do is tell Legislative Counsel Todd that we're going to act on it tomorrow and to have them ready. Thank you.
All right. Any other business? Thank you all very much.
Well, that's a hell of a job. That really is a hell of a job. Truly.